Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show is broadcast live from sunny Southern California. See this? LeBron questionable tonight against the Spurs. Questionable against the Spurs. And, of course, the Lakers play back-to-backs, right? So you got some, you do have some NBA action, right? So the Lakers play tonight against the Spurs, tomorrow night against Oklahoma City. And, you know, speculation, like take a listen to these games here. San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Cleveland, Houston, Oklahoma City. tell me where the loss is. But the Lakers haven't exactly looked great, losing to Golden State, losing to Phoenix. And playing Memphis kind of to the wire the other night. Obviously, they got some injuries, but not to only Trevor Reeves as a starter who's out. But LeBron may not play tonight. So we'll keep an eye on that one in terms of what happens with the line. They are a 2.5-point favorite in San Antonio with his status very much unknown. Speaking of lines and unknowns, have you guys seen what's happened to the line with the Green Bay Packers and the Arizona Cardinals? It potentially game of the season, right? Where you have Green Bay with only one loss, that being one where they were dismembered by the Saints, the same Saints team we saw last night, going against the Arizona Cardinals, who are undefeated, playing in Glendale on Thursday on Fox. So yesterday the news was Devontae Adams out. He's on the COVID list. Now, let's assume we don't know that Devontae Adams is vaccinated. If so, there's still the chance that he could play, but right now he's on the COVID list. The line went from the Cardinals being a 3.5-point favorite to, I believe, the Cardinals. Jay Stu, am I looking at this right at Bet Rivers that it's a 6-point favorite now?
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
And Doug, it may change because the Packers have just announced that Alan Lazard has been placed on the reserve COVID list.
Right. So here's the, and I heard Cowherd go like, well, one wide receiver affects him. Like, no, man, he's in the wide receiver room. Right? He's in the wide receiver room. So, of course, you know, you're going to have contact tracing and somebody else is going to catch it. So, yeah, I mean, by the way, he's being placed in the reserve COVID-19 list for a player who either tests positive for COVID-19 or has been in close contact with an affected person or persons. We don't know what that means. Aaron Rodgers said other guys got to step up, but if they don't have, you know, like, now we're getting way down the depth chart. Alan Lazard, now that means Randall Cobb and Robert Tonyan are getting a lot more, but, you know, and they don't know about Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who's had the hamstring injury. So this one is, there's a domino effect to it. And it's pretty obvious what that domino effect is, which is in terms of close contact. Like, look, dude, like, you're with your wide receiver guys all the time. You're in the same rooms. And you're playing against a team that just activated Chandler Jones, just activated Zach Allen, and their coach is now back off of a COVID-19 list. They've gone through it as well. But I think I'm guessing the line moved not just because of Devontae Adams, but because the litany of possibilities for other guys. And by the way, Adams hasn't been forced to follow protocols for unvaccinated players, means that he's vaccinated, which also means that he still could be cleared in game time. He needs 2 negative tests within 24 hours. And I'll be honest with you, I think that for the league, it would be great if he could play. Right? If he could play. If they could, if it would prove that the vaccination does work. That, hey, look, he got it, came down with it, and he was out of his system, you know, like 48 hours later. Like, look at this. I don't know. But Vegas seems to point to he's going to be out. Lazard's going to be out. They're going to have a bunch of dudes out. But it is a fascinating study on how we handle this thing and what a team looks like. And, you know, for the Green Bay Packers, this is kind of a yearly thing where Devontae misses a game or two. Unfortunately, this is one which is a gigantic game. Just an absolutely gigantic, gigantic game. I mean, you go back to last season, you know. Last season, he played 14 games. Year before, he played 12 games. Year before, he played 15, 14. Did play in all 16 games in his third season. 13 games in 15. And played in all 16 his first. But so he usually misses a couple games a year. This would be the first time that he's missed. Remember, 2 years ago, he had the bad hamstring that really hindered his season. Last year, mostly healthy, 18 touchdowns, led the league. And led the league in yards per game. Yeah, Jay Stu.
Am I reading this right? They're 6-0 without Devontae Adams since 2019. You see that stat?
I did not see that
stat.
Wow.
I just looked it up to see what happens, and that's what comes up first anyways. That's crazy.
Yeah, they become an equal opportunity offense.
Or they just play crappy teams.
That's actually more of it, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're less predictable. I guess that's a plus.
I think they play crappy teams.
If the Cardinals lost DeAndre Hopkins, I don't know how much of a line move you would see. I mean, and that is maybe based on all of the weapons the Cardinals have, but I know stat-wise, Devontae Adams yardage-wise is more than DeAndre Hopkins, but I think we put them in the same class of wide receiver. But yeah, if DeAndre Hopkins was out for the Cardinals, I don't know if we would see any change in the line.
Okay, let me see here. I'm looking at his game log from last year. Okay, so for example, last year the two games he didn't play were Atlanta, who was terrible, and New Orleans on the road. New Orleans was pretty good. That was that 37-30 win over New Orleans, right? Okay, so then we go back to 2019 where he didn't play. It was Dallas on the road, who they beat, but Dallas was bad that year, right? That was the year they didn't beat any teams with a winning record. Detroit, bad. Oakland, that was Gruden's first year, bad. And they beat Kansas City without him. So it's not all bad teams.
But Kansas City game was also without Mahomes.
There you go. Good call.
Matt Moore started that game.
Slight drop off, Matt Moore, don't you think, right?
Yeah. That was,
by the way, Matt Moore statistically 24 for 36, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, but it's not really how the game played out, right? But it was a close game. Aaron Jones, I think, had the winning touchdown there. But that doesn't mean that I think that you should think about, like, if this thing gets to like 7.5 going to the Packers, like, yeah, I think absolutely, because I do think they're a good football team. But remember, they have injuries in their defensive line. They did just go out and get Whitney Mercilus. We'll see what he has left in the tank. And they're playing on the road against a team that's undefeated and against a team that's getting healthy. Like, I think the move from 3.5 to 6 is not just Devontae Adams. It's just the reality of contact tracing, the reality of somebody else getting it. And now you're down potentially your top two wide receivers.
Sure.
And then you don't have Marcus Valdez-Scantling maybe with the hamstring, and this may be a white flag game. I don't know. Maybe they just they get really conservative, run it, throw it out to Aaron Jones in the flat. Fantasy-wise, what would you do? Like, what do you do with
punt,
Valdez?
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, no, you could pick up MVS. That could be. I think that Tonyan would actually be more of the factor when it comes to receiving. But then I also think that Green Bay relies much more heavily on Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. I think you'd see Dillon with maybe more of a role. And if you were to try to control the clock against a team, maybe Arizona is the team that you would like to do that with. I know time of possession is not a real good analytics sort of stat. However,
sure.
if the Packers were to keep Kyler Murray off the field, I think that would obviously help their cause considering how shorthanded they are and just how potent Arizona's offense can be.
Aaron Rodgers was asked this morning about potentially playing without Davante Adams.
Shock factor for sure when it's Davante, but we dealt with it last year. You know, we're maybe slightly more healthy than some of the other teams as far as not having as many cases. But when I heard 17, I was hoping that it was going to be one of those false positives for sure.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Obviously not a false positive. Now you got a second one. And, you know, obviously you're like, those guys are all in the same wide receiver room. Those guys all give each other high fives. Everybody gives each other love, right? Like, but they are vaccinated. And, you know, the sale on being vaccinated is, one, the protocols aren't nearly as severe when you get it. And two, you recover from it far quicker. So we'll see.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. So this was yesterday. Carson Palmer, friend of the show. He's on Dan Patrick's show every week. Of course, Carson, a Heisman Trophy winner in Pete Carroll's, I think his first year in Troy. Carson, Santa Margarita High School, USC, number one pick in the draft, Cincinnati Bengals, Oakland Raiders, Arizona Cardinals. Now a stud fly fisherman in the state of Idaho. Here's Carson on Dan Patrick.
You've got Penn State, you've got Iowa State, you've got Cincinnati, you've got a wild card like Mike Tomlin. That if Mike Tomlin wants out,
has Mike Tomlin hypothetically been discussed?
I'm sure he has. I think anybody is a potential candidate right now. And that's what's so great about the job is it can lure an NFL guy in that's tired of their current situation and worried about, is Ben Roethlisberger gone? Is he done? Who are we going to draft? Does Mike Tomlin have to start over with a first round young rookie quarterback? Everybody's on the table being that job is so big and so coveted.
Tomlin about it.
Take hey guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check. Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? Anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
In fairness, they weren't mentioned, but his feelings are shared by most professional sports coaches. Right now, what Carson said, I just want to make sure this is totally clear, because I don't know if people actually heard what Carson said. Okay. Because what Carson said wasn't just Mike Tomlin. It's like, look, if you want to get a big name, there are people that are unhappy about with their current gig. I'll give you an example. When one of the times Oklahoma State was open, I think when they hired Travis Ford, Mike Holder's the then athletic director at Oklahoma State, and he called me. And if you remember, they fired Sean Sutton, who was a dear friend of mine, my assistant coach, and I was not happy about it. And, you know, we talked through some things and he heard me out. And then he said, who do you think we should hire at your school for your job? And I said, well, look, I think you circle five guys who might be unhappy. And at the time, I'm not sure how happy Bo Ryan was at Wisconsin. Bo Ryan was one of the lower paid coaches at Wisconsin and he had made a big thing of it, right? But he's always been, even though he's from Philadelphia, he'd spent his entire professional career in the state at Platteville, where they won national championships at UW-Milwaukee. But I was like, look, call him, call Izzo. Those two are great. And if you can pay him $3 million, you can get guys that are only making $1.5 million or don't love their athletic director or they want something new. Why not? That's what you're supposed to do. Like, have five dream names to call. Right, they call Bill Self, who's an alum. He was at Kansas at the time. He's like, I'm not leaving Kansas or Oklahoma State. I love my alma mater, but it's just a better job. Okay, got to ask. I don't think there's I think that Mike Tomlin was discussed? Yeah, I think if you listen to what Carson said, they're like, here's the logic behind it. Does he really want to be there with a new coach, with a new quarterback? Is he kind of fried on it? Does he want to try the LA thing? See what it's like? Mike Tomlin, everybody thinks would be amazing on TV if he ever decided to not do football again. Mike Tomlin's just like, I'm the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like the biggest jobs in the National Football League, I would say would be the Dallas Cowboys, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those are probably the two biggest. Maybe the Packers. I think the Rams now, when they hired Sean McVay, it wasn't, but the Rams now, I think the Giants is still a gigantic, gigantic job. But those jobs, college pro coaches, they don't want to recruit. They don't want to go and Zoom call or go sit in the living room of a 17-year-old kid and tell them how great they are. That's a hard one for guys. It just is. It's a hard one. Like, I've actually coached the best players in the world. I've coached Hall of Famers. I don't want to, it's like going back in, like, I don't want to go back to college. Now there is, for people who love college, there's an energy to it, right? And in many ways it can be smart because, like, look, if you're just about winning, like at SC, if it's right at SC, you should win 90% of the games before they ever kick off because you got better players than the other team. So I just sit here and tell you, like, what Tomlin is saying is echoed by a lot of, like, that's the Brad Stevens thing. He's like, well, Brad Stevens for Indiana. Brad Stevens, like, I don't know, like, running an NBA team is so much better than running a college program. Yeah, Dan.
I did think that it was interesting on the names that Mike Tomlin used, because there was a name that he didn't use that I think that they're all in the same group. And long tenured head coaches with one Super Bowl victory. He used Sean Payton. He used Andy Reid. He did not use Pete Carroll. He did not use that name because guess whose name has been thrown up in those USC rumors. But for as great as a statement as it was, I think that Tomlin was very strategic in who he did name and who he did didn't name when talking about coaches that were or weren't being asked about college openings.
I don't know. I can't, you know, it's hard to judge intent. So I don't know what his intent was, in all honesty.
Sure.
But I do know this, that I don't think that was his intent. I think because Pete had coached in college, it's a more reasonable thing. But he's only been an NFL guy, right, for 20 years. He's been the head coach of the Pitts. It's the most stable job. And I think that's kind of what he was getting at. It's like, you know, you ask Pete because he's been to college and because he was a great college coach. Like, it makes more sense. It, like, there's what...
You and know, also, what he's been... Like, there have been rumors about him as well. They're, like, right. Nobody's saying, hey, Andy Reid could leave Kansas City. You know, there's, you know... So I think the point I was saying is it's a natural reaction, but I do think that he made sure to name those specific coaches in saying what he did, but made sure to not name Pete Carroll because Pete Carroll's name has been brought up over the last couple of months, whether it be real or not real.
I want to make sure this is really, really clear. I agree with you, by the way. I want to make sure this is really clear. What Carson said is how it's legitimately discussed when you're throwing out names this time of year. Like, all right, like, is there somebody out there we're not thinking of who we'd really like, who you wouldn't normally take the job, but they're just kind of fried where they are? Right. And they get new life coming out to the West. Like, that's a legitimate, that's how these things are discussed. You know, you spitball them. What's it called when you have a brainstorming session, you know? Hey, what about Mike Tomlin? I don't know. I mean, like, Terry Bradshaw was on his ass a couple years ago and other guys kind of, you know, wolves at the door. Like, Pittsburgh's pretty stable, but they got to get a new quarterback and they haven't found anything. And that division's a beast. And I don't know. Does he want, like, I don't know, like, call him? Apparently, you can save yourself the call. I don't think he's coming. There isn't a booster with a big enough check. Like, you know, there's a bunch of boosters going like, you sure about that? You know, sounds like a challenge to me. They come to the Breeders' Cup from every corner of the globe, the best thoroughbreds from around the world, with one goal in mind, a title of world champion. Visit breederscup.com/2021 for more information and catch all the live action on November 5th and 6th. By the way, I believe it's going to be Luke Fickell. And I have not spoken to Mike Bone, and I have talked to plenty of USC alums, none of whom have said absolutely Luke Fickell, but I'm just like, Luke Fickell potentially is going to compete for a national championship at Cincinnati. He would be the first ever non-Power 5 to get into the college football playoff as it stands now. I don't know if it holds up, but they'll be close, right? He used to work for Mike Bone. Like, we know how all these things work. I just do the, do I think they'll call everybody? Yes. Do I think they'll end up with Luke Fickell? Yes. Mm-mm. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Chris Sims joins us, former quarterback in the National Football League, and of course, a former star at the University of Texas. You see him on Football Night in America and on Pro Football Talk as well. So Mike Tomlin's not going, right? But I do.
No.
But stick with me for a second. I think what Carson was getting at is, like, this is a way to get a big-time candidate who people might not have thought of is find a guy who's not that happy where he is or is maybe a year away from getting fired and reset the shot clock, if you will. Is there a coach like that in the NFL that USC should talk to?
Ooh, that's a good question. Like Mike Tomlin, I understand where Carson Palmer was going that, and I think that's a good point by you, no doubt about that. Mike Tomlin's just too ingrained in the NFL and likes that way of life. I just can't picture Mike Tomlin. He's too real and, you know, I don't want to say harsh, but he's just not going to sugarcoat stuff enough sometimes. I think dealing with recruiting with moms and dads and, you know, 16 and 17-year-old kids. And he comes from, you know, a staff where I was down in Tampa, too, just to just talk for a second, Doug, where, you know, a few of those coaches went the college route, and I know they didn't like it. They were like, damn, it's too much bull crap. I just want to coach football. So there is that aspect. Now, the guy you're talking about, I don't know if there's one that jumps out to me right now. But I would probably, you know, I do look at, like, Anthony Lynn, who was there at one point.
Yep. Oh, we lost him. We'll get him back. The Anthony Lynn thing is real because, look, 75 to 90% of college football coaching isn't actually the coaching. That's why these college coaches, right? That's why these college coaches absolutely, I mean, the pro coaches don't love the college thing, is because coaching in college is not always about the coaching. And Anthony Lynn is a guy who the actual coaching wasn't the greatest with the Chargers, but you won't find anybody who doesn't believe in Anthony Lynn, the guy. Jay Stu, can we get him back? Okay, we'll get him back. But it's a real thing. Like Anthony Lynn, like they started a school, like the guy is as good a human being as you're ever going to find. So I agree with you on the Anthony Lynn thing because, as you said, college coaching is like, I don't know, 75% of it to 90% of it is not actually coaching the game, right? It's managing the boosters. It's recruiting. It's organizing. It's dealing with people on campus, dealing with academics, dealing with strength and conditioning, dealing with everything else. And all of those things, Anthony Lynn would be incredible with as opposed to the actual X and O's. And when you get into the pros, everything is, all that stuff is done for you. You just get to coach ball.
Yes, 100%. That's where I was going. I'm sorry about that.
It's okay, dude. Go.
But you're exactly right. And, you know, again, I haven't thought about it a whole lot here, but that was just a guy that right off the bat just jumped out to me. And I think he's a better coach than people realize in a lot of ways. Yeah, okay, he mismanaged a few games last year with the Chargers. There's no doubt about that. But I do think it's a guy that does jump out to me, at least with that conversation, for sure.
I point out, like, there are people that think that the Pete Carroll thing is coming to an end. And I do think that Pete, this lushing praise on Russell Wilson, kind of shows he's really trying to embrace his quarterback and make him feel loved. But I also think, like, with Geno Smith as their quarterback, they lost by 3 points to a good Saints team last night. Like, I don't – that's like your classic if Russell Wilson was playing, he'd be running around trying to make a play in the fourth quarter and probably would game. Do you think it's run its course?
Well, I don't want to say it's run its course yet. I don't. You know, I'm with you there. I think there's still a lot of good. You know, my thing more than anything is it's a little too reliant on what you just explained. Like, let's keep the game one score so Russell can make magic in the fourth quarter. And, of course, that's just hard. And it makes Russell look bad a lot of the times because then when it gets to playoffs or end of the season football, and if they don't win, everybody goes back to blaming Russell Wilson. And it's just like, man, all he was told was let's run the ball and play through our defense and don't make any turnovers until the end of the game. And then, of course, you know, at the end of the season, the playoffs, you're playing better defenses, you understand, you know, how to defend better and everything that way. And it doesn't, you know, lend to making him look good or look like a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes. And I think that's what he wants. I know that's what he told people in the circle around him last year when the season was over. You know, I think he's sick of that style of football. So that's where I do question whether that's run its course a little bit. And I'll be interested to see where that goes at the end of the year. The bottom line with the Seahawks is like, hey, Pete Carroll's still a good coach. They're just not a real talented team right now. There's not. And added to the fact that we just talked about, like, you know, okay, they got Jamal Adams on defense. He's the real deal, and he's not having his best year. But after that, the best thing they got going on their team right now with Russell out is DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And it's like they almost go out of their way not to get them the damn ball sometimes. And that's where I don't understand. You know, again, you got to use the assets on your roster. And, I know they're managing Geno. I get that, but – you know, I also think they're managing it to almost a little bit of a disservice of their team at this point, to where it's hard for Geno and it's hard for the team to create plays and gets points because of the way they play.
It's Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. Did Tennessee's great week change your outlook on the AFC?
Not a whole lot. I mean, not as far as the outlook on the AFC. The AFC to me is totally up for grabs. Like, I feel much more confident in the top teams in the NFC than I do the AFC. You know, Arizona, like, let's just go through it real quick if you don't mind. Arizona, I don't really got any questions right now. Offense is good. Defense is good. You know, quarterback's good. Tampa Bay, same thing. Green Bay, same thing. Dallas, okay, maybe the defense is a little less than, but they make plays every week. The Rams, I got no questions there. So when you go to the top five teams in the NFC, I just go, man, it's one complete team after another. The AFC, I can look at their top teams, maybe other than Buffalo, and question everything. Cleveland, man, defense is all over the place. Baker Mayfield's all over the place. Chargers, I don't know if they can stop the run ever against anybody. Baltimore, defense isn't quite the same. They can't legitimately run the ball like they have in years past, and I mean like with the running backs and pulling guards. It's just not quite as dominant as in years past. A lot of their running stats are Lamar scrambling and doing that. You know, Las Vegas, I think there's question marks there. So it is very up for grabs still. And Tennessee, with that freak of nature, they got a tailback. And Mike Vrabel, I think, and Shane Bowman have finally got that defense kind of, you know, figured out as far as how they want to play. They're certainly, I guess, in my mind, the last 2 weeks, they've changed my opinion to go, wait, they're here to stay. They are one of the top teams in the AFC, that's for sure. I'm not sure it's changed my outlook, you know, completely about that conference, because I don't know what to think of them. I've had moments here over the last week, and last week on Sunday Night Football, and I think I said it to you, like, Cincinnati's here to stay. They're here to stay. They're one of the more complete teams in the AFC, in my opinion, where you just break them down, you go, man, it's hard to find a real weakness or flaw with the football team, and I didn't think I'd be saying that before the year, but they're showing they're battle-tested and have a little bit of everything on offense, and the defense is talented.
Kyle's catching some heat now, and my point has been like, look, dude, last year you don't have your quarterback and your best player, Nick Bosa, gets hurt. You know, that just changes you dramatically. Everybody loses their quarterback. Right. Generally, your season goes down the tubes. And, you know, this year you haven't had Garoppolo a couple games. Obviously, he wasn't very good. They weren't very good in the rain. That's a hard one.
Yeah.
But how do we go from like everyone saying Kyle Shanahan's a great coach to wait a second, look at Kyle Shanahan's overall record when a lot of the record is without a starting quarterback. Where are we on Kyle? And I know you guys are incredibly close friends, but you also have to put on your analyst hat. Give me your thoughts on the change in the narrative around Kyle.
Well, I think the quarterback situation, and then of course the way the draft situation, and even some of the, you know, maybe confusing message that was let out during preseason has led people to go like, wait, what the hell? What's this guy doing? What's he thinking? Does he have a plan? I think that's the perception that they kind of put out there a little bit this offseason, which I think now, you know, kind of rolled downhill into this conversation right here. I mean, realistically, he's still one of the best offensive minds in football. There's no doubt about that. You said it right. Last year they set an NFL record with injuries. So that really blew up their team. You know, but I think the other thing that's coming back to haunt them a little bit is not only the Garoppolo thing, you know, maybe the missing out on Mahomes and Watson in his first draft. You know, C.J. Beathard trying to roll with him. Nick Mullins, who's a practice squad quarterback, and trying to make that happen for some reason. I think that's where it's all led to, like, now we question Kyle Shanahan. I still think he's a phenomenal coach. Yeah, and I'm biased. He's my friend, but I'm pretty capable of keeping it real. You know, to me, that's just the area he's messed up in, the quarterback area. And, yes, he's got a quarterback in which he traded for his first year because they were 0-10, and that damn quarterback can't stay healthy either, let alone, you know, when he is healthy, he's had moments of playing less than, just like you saw the other night. Even the year they went 13-3, there was a few pockets during the year where you went, damn, this isn't real good quarterback play, but we didn't care because the defense was good, they were winning, and they had all these magical runs, you know, that Shanahan's designed that we kind of just went, they'll be okay, no big deal. So I think that's why we are where we are right now with that conversation. And hopefully they can win a few games and calm that down a little bit.
Can the Chiefs be fixed this season?
Well, yes, they can. I mean, you know, like we've talked about before, the defense is not going to get much better. They're not. The big thing to me, and I'm always big on this, this is something I preach on PFT all the time. Listen, when you evaluate a team, part of evaluating the team is going, where are the assets? Where are the money? Most of their assets and most of their money on their team are on the offensive side of the ball. It's on them to carry the squad. That's where, I mean, you got, you know, Tyreek Hill, one of the most expensive receivers. You know, of course, Kelce, one of the most expensive tight ends. An offensive line that's got a second-round pick at center and probably the most expensive left guard and left tackle in football to go along with that. You know, so other assets on the right side of the line. And then, of course, Patrick Mahomes with his huge contract. Mahomes, you know, has been a little bit all over the place this year for the first time ever. And last week was, Doug, it was his worst game as a pro. And, I mean, I'm not like, you know me, I'm not like, oh, let's blame the quarterback. But he got into, again, where I think I've told you in some other weeks where he's getting off reads too quick. He's leaving the pocket. There's a few plays. The interception he throws, maybe I think it's on the second drive of the game. I want to go, the pocket's fine. Why are you running to the left? Why? Tyreek Hill screaming down the left sideline. You've got a guy beat by a step, and, of course, if you throw it out there, he's going to beat him by as many steps as you want to. He's got a crosser that's open, too. But for some reason, he feels this need to get out of the pocket at points during the year, and it's causing him problems. And he's getting off reads a little too quick. He's just off his game, and we've never seen this before, so that's where it's weird. But I'm not giving hope up on them yet, just because, you know, he is so special, and I have faith in Andy Reid and some of the other talent they have on that side of the ball. That if they're close to where if they get it going, you know, they can still be, of course, one of the best offenses in football. No doubt about that.
Great stuff, Chris. Absolutely great stuff. Really appreciate you joining us and talking some ball. We'll talk soon.
You're the man, Doug. Have a good week, buddy.
That's Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk and Football Night in America.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I can't listen to this and not think about Varsity Blues. You like that, Byer? Wait, Byer, you've seen Varsity Blues, right?
No, I haven't.
I totally get you're a TV show guy, right, and a sports savant. But this is like it's a good sport. It's a good watch. That's one you'd like. Right?
That's maybe when I'll check you, it out this weekend.
Representative Beyer.
That's a good one. You cost me my perfect season, Billy Bob. Oop-de-oop, oop-de-freaking-oop. Sorry. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I have something for you at the top of the hour that is amazing. Oh, we got JP Morosi then? All right, well, I got something for you in like 30 minutes you're going to love. Did you guys hear the news about Hertz? What they purchased, which apparently at no discount, 100,000 Teslas to their fleet. Now, their fleet is like 450,000 cars. So, potentially, this is like almost a quarter of their cars will be Teslas. It reminds me of a team in the NFL. There's a direct parallel to it. You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. Get to that upcoming next hour, plus JP Morosi, who's going to join us, and we preview the World Series, which it's on Fox. It's Smoltz and Buck and Rosenthal and JP, and it'll be really well done, but nobody really cares. Nobody likes the Astros, and I'm sorry, the Braves just don't move the meter. I wish Acuña Jr. was playing because he's one of my three or four favorite players to watch. But he's not, and it's the Braves. The only thing I do like is, like, I will get to that. We'll get to it at the top of the hour. Let's get to the Fox.
And now.
What does the Fox say?
Skip Bayless said this about Tom Brady calling defensive players dogs chasing cars.
My message to Tom right here, right now is no, 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 no. What are you thinking? Do you know how hard it is to dominate this sport at age 44, which he is doing as we speak? Why would you suddenly, to your first point, let your hair down, so to speak, and let your guard down, so to speak, and blurt out a shocking shot at all defensive players? I got to tell you, I was watching this kind of like this, you know, like, okay, because he was mostly guarded until that moment, and it just came out of nowhere, and he went, as they say, he kept it 100, you know, like keep it 100, and all of a sudden he's got 99 more problems.
Yes.
Because if I play defense at a high level in this league, yeah, and I heard that, it would really tick me off. You went there?
Yes. But
defensive players are like dogs who chase cars. It's like the ultimate shot at all defensive players I've ever heard. And then he tried to amend it at the very end. There's some great defensive players out there. He tried to throw that in at the end. So I was amazed that he would go there out of nowhere.
I wasn't, because I've been in a locker room before as an athlete and guys talk trash about the other side of the ball, or they talk trash about big guys want to be little guys and little guys want to be big guys, and they all talk trash about each other. That's actually how it works. That's sports, right? You know, every position player wants to be a pitcher, or man, I could be a DH. Like if all I had to do was hit, if all I had to do was come in out of the bullpen, how good would I be? That's the language of sport. So Skip Bayless is looking at it like it was a press conference and him calling out a defense, whatever. It's not. This is what offensive guys, specifically quarterback guys, who break down every subtle nuance and know all the different terms and all the different route combinations based upon certain defenses and certain formulas, whereas defense is far more simplistic. Nothing he said was a lie, nothing he said was wrong, and nothing he said was anything defensive players haven't heard. It's just new to Skip Bayless and to many in society who don't know the language of sport.
What does the Fox say?
It's just the truth to it. Just the truth to it. I understand, like, that reaction that Skip had, I get. Okay, but that's just because it's like the first time you heard something. What are you doing? Calling out defense player? Like, no defensive player cares. And oh yeah, by the way, do you think defense players weren't trying to get after Tom Brady previously? John Paul Morosi previews the World Series next.